So we ended our series last week on One Generation Blessing Another. And just as a little bridge before we start the brand new series called Hashtag Follow. Who are you following? We're going to talk about that. Not today. Today, just a little sermon in between the series on generations and the next one coming up on following Jesus. And I want to take you to the book of Hosea in the Old Testament. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Yeah, can I go on? Can you remember them? Well, find Hosea. It's one of the smaller prophets, one of the 12. Let me tell you a little something about Hosea. Hosea is one of the two prophets. He and Amos preached to the 10 tribes. They were prophets for the 10 tribes. Now, let me remind you again. After Solomon came the two sons, Jeroboam and Rehoboam, and that's where the united tribes, the 12 tribes, split into the northern kingdom in the north called Israel. They also had a nickname that God gave them called Ephraim, and we'll see that in our reading as well. And then there was the two tribes called Judah in the south. Their capital city was Jerusalem. The 10 tribes, their capital city was Samaria. The only two prophets of all of the prophets that prophesied in Israel were Hosea and Amos. And we always make the joke, H-A, because they were always laughed at. Ha, ha, ha. Easy to remember, Hosea and Amos. So I'm taking you to Hosea. Hosea prophesied during the time of King Jeroboam the second. So in Samaria, the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes. They were destroyed, and dispersed completely, in 722, 721 by the Assyrians and never came back. The two tribes, 586, went into Babylonian exile, came back 30 years, 50 years, 80 years in groups like that. They came back. The 10 tribes we're going to talk about never came back. They were dispersed, and that was the end of the 10 tribes. So, Hosea in the time of King Jeroboam, a wonderful time of abundance, of wealth, things going well, really, really well. A few problems that happened with that. So they lived in the northern kingdom close to the Canaanites. And because things went so well, they started doing the things the Canaanites did. And they changed their religion from just a pure religion with the Lord as their only God to a fertility cult. So they would learn from the Canaanites that when it's time to plant, they would go to the temple and sleep with the prostitutes, because that would then guarantee that the crops would be fulfilled and they would have wonderful crops. So they prayed to the rain god, and they prayed to the earth god, and they prayed to the corn god, and they prayed to the wheat god. They had all of these little idols that they made from wood and stone. And then, of course, every now and then, with big festivals, they would go to the temple, and they didn't have a temple in Samaria. They went to the place of worship, and there they would go and worship the Lord and thank the Lord for all he did. So they were kind of mixing the religion, because things were going so well, they didn't need the Lord that much. King Jeroboam, instead of in times of trouble staying with the Lord, asking the Lord for wisdom, King Jeroboam played favors with the Assyrians, which in the end would lead to their downfall. All these things you need to know before I read this, because all of these are coming into play a little later in our story. They were also warring people, and they made a lot of war on the in the valley of Jezreel. They thought that they were just too strong for anyone, and no one could stand against them. They would learn that lesson later, that they weren't as strong as they thought. So during this time is when the Lord calls this prophet called Hosea to come and preach for them. The story starts in chapter 1, and I need to give you this background to get to our chapter. Hosea, the Lord tells him to marry a woman And the Hebrew actually says she was a prostitute. The Bible makes it a little softer, the translation. A woman with a bad reputation. It meant that she did not stay faithful to Hosea. He wasn't even sure that the children were his, that they would have. But that's what the Lord says, so he marries his wife, and there they go. So after a while, first child is born. The Lord says, call this child Jezreel. Because says the Lord, on that valley of Jezreel, the blood for Israel will flow and their bows will be broken. Because you see, it's on that same valley that Jehu, who Jeroboam was part of his lineage, he killed Ahab, but he went way further than that. He destroyed everything that belonged to King Ahab, his wife, the children, everything. He just went on a rampage and just destroyed everything. And God says, the way that Israel is going now, on that valley of Jezreel, I will break their bows. And that will be the end of them because they are not listening to me. And the valley of Jezreel is very fertile and was part of this fertility cult. And God says, not going to be there for them. So every time they saw little Jezreel, they would hear this prophecy. Then the second child is born, girl. Her name is Lo Ruhamah. Lo means no in Hebrew or not. And Ruhamah means compassion, love. It's that love bond that's in a relationship. God says, I will call this child Lo Ruhamah because I will not have any compassion, love for you anymore. I'm going to break that blood tie that would be between family. I'm going to break that blood tie because of what you're doing. And then it says, after she weaned Lo Ruhamah, the third child was born, telling us there was about 3-4 years. And this is where many of us think that this was not Hosea's child. The last child was born, which is called Lo Ami. Lo again, not. And Ami, meaning my people. Kind of maybe Hosea saying, not my child. God says, you are not my people. And then he says, and I will not be your God. But in the Hebrew, he actually says, I will not be your Echyeh, because that's his name. Remember Exodus 6 when Moses says, who are you? And God says, I am who I am. And in Hebrew, it's Echyeh, Asher Echyeh. And this time God says, you will be Lo Ami, and I will not be your Echyeh. I will not be the I am for you, saying, I'm going to break that covenant. So this is how it starts. God says, when you see this, these kids will prophesy, because that's how my people are with me. They are like this unfaithful woman who runs around with all other gods and then comes back to me and says, love me and care for me. And God says, not going to take that anymore. Rest of the book tells the story. It's Hosea and his wife. And in one second, he says, I can't stand you. Get away. And then, oh, I can't live without you. I can't stand you. I can't live without you. Right throughout. Same as God. Chapter 5, God says, I'm fed up with you. I'm so fed up with you that you can bring as many sacrifices as you want. You can sing as many songs as you want. I'm just going to put my fingers in my ears and I'm done with you. Chapter 5, verse 6, go read that. God just says, I'm done with you. I don't care. I don't want to listen. Chapter 6, he says, your love for me is like the mist in the morning. Because you'll say, oh, let's go back to the Lord. Let's take him a few sacrifices. Let's appease the Lord and all will be good. And God says, no, 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 no. It's just like that mist in the morning. It just disappears when the sun comes out. Listen to me. I don't need your sacrifices. I don't want your sacrifices. I want justice. I want righteousness. I want you to have a relationship with me. Chapter 8 to 10, God is just, this is what's going to happen. I am done with you. Chapter 11 is one of the most beautiful chapters where God says, how can I let go of you? My love is so strong for you. And then we get to our chapter, and I want you to listen carefully to this end of the book of Hosea. Hosea preaching to the people. Return, Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say our gods or our lord to what our own hands have made. For in you the fatherless or the orphan finds compassion. And then verse 4, the Lord says, I, and listen to the eyes, I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger is turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel, and he will blossom like a lily, like a cedar of Lebanon. He will send down his roots, and his young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like an olive tree, and his fragrance like a cedar from Lebanon. People will dwell again in his shade, and they will flourish like the grain, and they will blossom like the vine. Israel's fame will be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? I, says the Lord, will answer him and care for him. I am like a flourishing juniper, and your fruitfulness comes from me. It's a hymn of repentance. So Hosea stands before this congregation and he says, can I tell you something? Stop what you're doing. Stop playing the games. Stop saying, let's go sacrifice to the Lord and then run around with these idols again. Turn away from them and turn back to the Lord. That's the word that he uses there. Turn back to the Lord and then go to the Lord and repent of these sins. And it's kind of like someone says, Hosea, stop for a second. Do you not remember how this works? If we want to go and sacrifice to the Lord, if we want to get into God's presence, we have to take offerings. We have to bring sacrifices, because the only way to say I'm sorry for my sins in those days was to bring a sacrifice. You could not go into God's presence with empty hands. It's all over Exodus and Deuteronomy. And Hosea, did you forget your own sermon in chapter 5? God says, I don't want anything to do with your sacrifices. You can bring as many as I want. I close my eyes, I close my ears. I don't want to hear that. So we're done for, Hosea. We can't do that. Hosea gets a smile and he says, as usual, you didn't listen. I said, repent your sins and go to the Lord and say to the Lord, we will bring to you a sacrifice of our lips. I didn't say bring a cow or a calf or whatever grain you have. What I'm saying is, go stand before the Lord and start talking to the Lord. Can I stop there for a second? I think that's a problem for many of us. What do I do with the messes I make in my life? What do I do with, let me call the word sin. What do I do with the sin in my life? The things where I mess up, the things where I break God's heart, the moments where I put up these walls that push me away from God. Not God from me, me away from God, because isn't that what we do? When we mess up and we've done wrong, we do the Israel thing. We kind of say, we're sure God's going to take care of this. And we hide away from God. I'll go sit and I'll read the Bible and I'll read, Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down. Oh, that's beautiful. That's wonderful. Thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for all the good things. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my children. Amen. The Lord says, whoa, can we talk? No, Lord, I need to go sleep. And the Lord says, can we talk? No, Lord, I need to go sleep. Tomorrow I come back and Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green. Thank you. Thank you for my wife, my children. Thank you. Can we just talk? No, I need to go sleep. You know, I have to work tomorrow. I have to get up 5 o'clock. I'm busy. I. What happens? I drift away from God further and further. And then I start saying, where's God? What happened to God? God isn't there. No. It's me. Because all these things that are in between me and God, I'm too scared to talk about them. I'm too scared to say, Lord, this is what I've done. This is what I've done. This is what I've done. So I hide away and I run away and God's trying to get to me and he can't. Can you stop doing that? That's where we mess up. God standing there waiting for you. Remember the hound of heaven. I told you about that once. The story where this hare is running away from the dog, and at some stage, this hare just falls down and it waits for the dog to pounce on him and kill it. And the dog says, "I'm so glad you stopped. I've been chasing you so long because I want to be your friend. Why have you always been running away from me?" God is not out to get us. Look at him coming back to these people who have turned their backs on him, who have messed him around, who have done all these wrong things. And what does God do? He says, "Hosea, tell them to come and talk to me." Do you hear that, my friends? You'd have to do nothing more than talk to God. "I am sorry, Lord. I messed up, Lord. I am so sorry about that. Help me with this, Lord. Walk with me, please, Lord." You know what he's going to do? Well, let me stop, and you're going to wait for that a little bit. Hosea says to him, "That's what you need to do. But I also want you to see what they did." Remember I told you in the beginning. Jeroboam, he went to the king of Assyria and said, "You need to help me," instead of going to God. They stood and they made these little idols and they called them "my Lord, my God," Baal, which "my Lord." And of course they had their chariots and they thought, "Well, this, we're invincible." When he says to them, he says, "Go tell the Lord what are the things that are standing between you and the Lord." And they come and they say, "Lord, Assyria didn't work out. We will never again say to those idols, 'my Lord.' And Lord, we're so sorry that we thought that we could stand on our own strength." Did you see what they did? They named them. That's our mistake. We're too scared to say, "Lord, this is what I..." Can I tell you something? God already knows. He's been there, saw it. So what am I hiding? Nothing that he doesn't know. But God wants me to say it, because the moment I say it, I can get it out. And me and the Lord, we can talk about this. And what can he do? "And I will wash it away, and you will be as white as wool." Isn't that what he says in Isaiah? "Come, let's talk about this, so I can wash it." What do you have in your life that keeps you away from God, that makes you kind of hide from God, that makes you kind of run around this corner when God comes around the other corner? What is there in your life that's hurting your relationship with God? The invitation is, turn around and come and give it to the Lord. "Lord, this is the stuff. This is the junk. These are the things that are hurting my relationship with you, where I messed up. I'm so sorry, Lord. Can I give it to you?" And I said, I'll come back to this. Did you see the Lord's answer in verse 4? When at last they come and they stand and say, "Lord, here it is." The Lord doesn't say, "Okay, bend over. Let's see if we can give you six of the best." Or, "No, I'm going to make you suffer first." Or, "No, I'm going to put you in the gutter first." Or, "No, I don't want to know about you. You're going to have 6 months detention before I talk." No. Did you see the Lord's words? I, says the Lord, will heal their waywardness. Not, "I will put a little band-aid over that and see if it works." No, I will take that thing that is hurting, we'll cut it out, we'll stitch it up, and I will heal it. Yes, sin often leaves a scar and a mark, but if God has healed it, it's gone and it's away. Well, that goes the second part of that. "And I, says the Lord, will love them freely." Can you hear that word? Freely. Not because God doesn't care. Not because sin is not despicable in God's eyes. Because Jesus died on the cross for all of that. And because of that, God loves me. Not because of what I did. Not because I'm so amazing. Not because sin doesn't matter. Because he washed me and cleansed me in the blood of Jesus Christ and makes me whole again. But it starts with confession. It starts with me saying, this is it, Lord. And I'm sorry, Lord. And can I give this to you, Lord? And then I will heal their waywardness and I will love them freely. Will you hear that invitation? Will you hear God standing there with open arms? No, he's not standing like this, not judging. He's standing like this. Come on in. Come talk to me so that I can wash you and heal you and make you new. Then God uses these images. Remember the fertility cult? So here God uses these images from the earth and all these beautiful things. And he says, I will be for them like the dew. You know, for 6 months of the year, they see no rain in that area. But every night the dew falls. And those little flowers in the day, they blossom because of that. I will be for them, says the Lord, like the dew, and they will blossom. We know that dew. That wonderful dew of the Holy Spirit that comes in us, cleanses us, washes us, and makes us brand new. But it starts, return to the Lord and say to the Lord, and then hear as he says, I will heal you. Amen. Father God, thank you. Thank you for a message of hope in a book that is full of people just playing games with you. And yet you don't just give up. You come back and you do it over and over and over and over, calling us, come talk to me. Thank you that you turned around that name, Lord. The name that started was Lo Ruchama, I will have no compassion. And then that verse says, for in you alone the fatherless will find Ruchama, compassion. For where can we go, Lord, as broken orphans, if we cannot go to you? Thank you that you turn it around. We come before you, we put our brokenness, all of these things. We lay it all open. Thank you that you wash that in the blood of Jesus our Lord. Amen.